Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adesk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, May 20th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Hey. How's it in Texas? Is it hot?
Yeah, it's a nice day.
I heard Texas.
I was sitting outside for a little while before the program began, get a little sun. I keep waiting for them to invent a computer monitor that runs on sunlight rather than whatever else it is they feed through. They feed through the LEDs, ultraviolet, where you can actually get a tan while you're sitting here working on your computer monitor. You know?
Oh, well, there you go.
Because otherwise you get stuck in front of these computer monitors and you wind up looking like Casper the Friendly Ghost. So I step outside and get a little sun. It's a nice day. Windy. Sun is bright. It's hot out. It's probably, I imagine it's 90 degrees. I don't know what the temperature is, but I suppose it's 90 outside. Nice day.
I thought that there's parts of Texas that is running out of water. I read there's lakes that are just drying up. Several cities that in 30, 90 days, they're going to be pretty much out of water.
Well, it happens in different parts of Texas. It's not a new thing, and it happens more as time goes by. I think Texas is getting warmer. You know, a lot of people don't believe in the global warming thing, but I can remember as a child back in Illinois, we had a lot of snow in the wintertime. And I know that over the years, that just doesn't happen in Illinois anymore. I mean, once in a while, yeah, but we just don't get the same amount of snow we had when I was a kid back in the 1950s and even the 1960s. And you can see it down here in Texas, too. You can see that it's warming. I don't know that it's caused by CO2 per se.
No, I don't believe that.
I don't know if that's the cause of it. You know, they've got global warming on one of the moons of Saturn or Jupiter. I don't remember what, but they've got global warming out there on one of these moons also. So there are other factors at work, but nevertheless, it is getting warmer. And as it does, there'll be less water, more drought. A lot of problems.
Well, I also think with the growth of this country, you have more residences, and of course, more people will draw down their reservoirs. I'm sure that has an impact on it. But I also think a lot of these cities. You have all these huge cities, and with all the cements and the concretes, they create these heat islands.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe they do. They can have an impact on the jet stream, and depending on how hot they get in the summertime, and other varying factors along with HARP and so forth. But I definitely do believe there's a lot of things going on. I can remember it was sixth grade, and I remember my teacher telling me then, and that was many moons ago, that definitely there is a. Was a big push to control weather, and we certainly know they have, probably have the ability to do so to some degrees. I don't think it's as strong as what many believe, and some storms are just storms, but certainly there's a lot of storms that you question the direction and so forth. But I do believe heat islands in these cities, large cities that have cropped up. Phoenix and California and down in Texas and so forth do make a difference.
They make a difference. I guarantee you that concrete makes a difference at night.
Mm-hmm.
You could imagine, you here in Texas, Dallas, you drive around July at night, walk around, you can feel the mm-hmm. heat radiating up from the concrete,
absolutely.
From the road, from the sidewalks. You can feel it. Mm-hmm. It's not something you imagine. I mean, it's still hot. Couple hours after sundown,
mm-hmm.
still have heat radiating up off the ground.
Well, I lived in Phoenix in Arizona for a long time, so absolutely, it does make a difference. And when I first moved out there, early 70s compared to today, the summers. I remember there was one month that you had to deal with the humidity, and that was from July. Maybe a month and a half from July to August. Now their humid months run, 6 months, 5 months? It's a little more humid than normal. So anyway, let's see what gold has, what the markets completed today. Gold was up a whole $1.80. It was strong this morning. We almost made it to 1,300. 1,295.40 for gold. Silver's up a few cents at 1,950. Platinum down $2 at 1,472. Palladium's making another strong showing, up $9 at $828. You have the USDX trading. It's been up and down a few points here and there, 80.03. Crude oil still trading at 102.51. Paper markets today. Retail numbers came out. The market didn't like that. And it dipped three digits, 137, although it's off its lows. 16,374. The NASDAQ was down 28 at 4,096. The S&P down 12 at 1,872. 10-year yield down 0.03 at 2.51%. Also, the market seemed to drop today after the Fed's Bank of Philadelphia, President Charles Plosser, he came out and said that the central bank might have to raise rates sooner than some would expect. Now, everybody's sort of expecting 2015 that we're just going to be moving right along. But he sort of had these hawkish comments. He said, we paid attention to what might be different in a vacuum of catalysts. The market looks for something to react to. So we had a knee-jerk reaction when we hear something different. And Plosser believes that if the economy improves as forecast, the Fed's current taper pace may be too slow. He says that would be a big concern. And I don't know how they can continue to say that. And then when you have the...
With a straight face. I can understand how they can say the words, but how can they keep a straight face? Are they taking...
I know.
What is that toxin you put in your forehead and the rest of that to keep the frown lines out?
Oh, Botox.
Botox. I was thinking Biotox. Botox. Maybe they take Botox in their forehead and all around the smile muscles on their mouth and eyes, and therefore they don't just crack up when they say these things. But, yeah, how do they keep saying them?
Well, you had Caterpillar. They came out with disappointing numbers. Their declines were off 13%. So, and of course, they, they're the maker of construction and mining equipment. And so they had a terrible 3 months. Well, you can blame it on that.
I saw an article that talked about Caterpillar, maybe a month ago. Maybe 3 weeks, a month ago, something like that. And someone was speculating that a handful of corporations, including Caterpillar, were essentially carrying the markets. All right, they were doing very, very well. And they were kind of carrying the markets along with them. And the implication was that if Caterpillar went south and started not carrying the market and not doing well, they didn't say that in the article, but that's the implication, that the market itself would suffer a significant decline, more than you might expect. So I don't know whether the article was valid or not, but it was at least an idea. And last quarter, reports on Caterpillar were great. Now we find out, oops, maybe not.
Maybe not so much.
Yeah.
Today, everyone's talking about it, and everybody thinks that because Russia and China are getting together, and it is true, they're planning to increase the volume of direct payments in a mutual trade in their national currencies. That's according to a joint statement that the EU tomorrow and the world. I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's enough. But what people need to understand is that this is part of the beginning, and it is part of the decline, and it could unfold very rapidly. Al, you wanted to say something?
No, I thought what I wanted to say is you dropped out for a second there, and I was, for about 3 seconds, I couldn't hear what you were saying. And I wasn't sure whether I was no longer on or you were no longer on. But then you came back on again, so now my fears have been allayed, so I'm good.
Okay. But there's a lot of things that two countries are together. They're going to be talking about economic policies, boosting growth and mutual investments, transportation, infrastructure, and the development of mineral deposits and the construction of budget housing within Russia. So there's a lot going on. It'll be interesting to see what exactly gets signed and agreed upon. And, of course, all these things could have already been done and said in a phone conversation prior to the actual meeting and the signing of the documents.
Oh, you've got to go through the theater and the ritual order to let the public know. I mean, if you don't want them to find out, you don't do anything. But if you've, we've reached this historic agreement. Historic agreement may have been reached last January. We don't know when it was reached. But now is when it will be publicized.
Well,
that will be the big event.
Switching to the national currencies, this was actually first announced way back in 2010. By both Putin and the Chinese premier. And then the announcements was followed by a deal that was struck by the central banks of the two countries that would allow bilateral trade in the ruble and renminbi. The yuan. That's easier to say. That's why most people use it.
The Chinese currency. You can say that.
Currency as well as in the freely convertible currency. So certainly changes are happening. We're going to see a lot more of it.
Talking about China and hooking up with Russia. You know, is this a marriage of convenience or is this true love? And the answer is this is a marriage of convenience, right? This is one of those things because there's been a level of antagonism between the two countries for, you know, it goes back a long time. It's not a new thing. It's not necessarily a deadly thing, but you know, these people don't necessarily like each other. And I've got a couple articles here talking about China growing more aggressive. And when I say aggressive, it includes relationships. Stepping out, say, okay, let's do some business with Russia again. All right, we'll try and see how this works out. We've got five in China Army face U.S. charges of cyber attacks. New York Times talked about it yesterday to some degree. it's interesting that the nom de guerre for some of the Chinese defendants, one of them is called Ugly Gorilla on the internet, and the other one goes under the Candy Goo. So I'm just looking at this and thinking, the United States versus Candy Goo. It kind of sounds like they're filing a case against a stripper rather than a military official in China, but it points out there's not much we can do about it. This is all symbolic because China's not going to hand these people over. And but it does indicate that there is a level, you know, they've got, there's a level of China stepping up its activities against the United States. It may not be prepared to go to a shooting war, but on the other hand, they don't mind trying to hack in. Did you want to add something?
Yeah, I do. The Chinese did call the U.S. ambassador today, and you know they're pretty outraged at these accusations. Yeah. And what you hear, what they're talking about on the mainstream media, and what Washington is coming out with is that because of this so-called hacking into and getting the information, it's lost this country over 2 million jobs. Hello, if you look at the corporations that are behind it all, do you think that? You know, it's...
How many jobs did we lose when they knocked the tariff barriers down and
exactly
sent jobs
right.
and industries to China in the first place? Now they're blaming China for taking 2 million jobs? Bunch of, you know, I
it's
mean, talk about the kettle
here.
Calling the pot black or vice versa. And keeping a straight face. It's just...
So, no, I mean, these jobs left because of our trade agreements. These jobs left because of the lack of tariffs. These jobs left because these corporations were greedy and Wall Street is greedy.
Of course, that's all they run on. Corporations are fundamentally dangerous. They're not like people, right? And when they try to equate them, and the Supreme Court's done this, they've said, oh, corporations are essentially people and they have very much the same rights. That is completely wrong. It shouldn't be that way for this reason. Corporations run on one basis, and that is profit and loss, which is to say money is the lifeblood of any corporation. They don't care about progeny. They don't care about kids. They don't care about national pride. They care about money, money, and money, and that's all corporations do. It is the nature of the corporation to be that way, and if you allow the corporations to overrun your country, guess what? You'll wind up with a legal system where the fundamental question is not right or wrong, but rather profit and loss. And courts will rule on that basis. And people listening to this program, a lot of you have looked around, you've seen that. This is what it is to be too big to fail. It isn't about right and wrong. Right and wrong are the value systems you have for a nation. Profit and loss are the value systems you have for an economy. Two completely different or much significantly different system of values. And if you accept that you are living in an economy rather than insist that you are living in a nation, well, you're exposing yourself to some disabilities, liabilities, losses. It's not a good thing. You know, I'm not going to argue that corporations are evil per se, but it is simply the nature of the structure of a corporation. The whole thing is all about the money. That's it. That's it. That's it. And when you allow them, when you equate them to people, you accept a system of values that is contrary to the best interests of the people. And we have, you know, corporations have been getting away with this for quite a while. We can talk more about this. We'll take a break in about 30 seconds, but we'll talk more about corporations when we get back because maybe we're beginning to see a change. Maybe there's some evidence that some corporations and even the government is going to, maybe they're going to start to crack down on corporations. And maybe, I'm not going to bet on it, but I'm telling you that maybe some things are happening to suggest perhaps a shift in values. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners to give Discount Gold and Silver a call at 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And we got some great prices. Again, orders this month, you'll receive a 1 ounce free Silver Eagle with every order. And of course, we're doing Silver Eagles at $275 over spot. Very good price. And all of our coins are very good price. We ship very promptly. There's no delays in any of the products. The only delay is sometimes we have Silver Eagles coming in on such a regular basis. We're just waiting for this next shipment to come in, but there's no delays, any major delays coming from the U.S. Mint and the production of Silver Eagles. And I didn't look today to see the new numbers should be released for the Silver Eagles that were minted or sold, I should say, for this last week. And last week it was 3.2 million. And let's see if I can go to the new number and find out. I should have it here. We're at 3.5.
So it's rising.
So it is still rising. And again, this is an incredible.
Who's buying the coins? Again, we've talked about this before, but who is buying all of these Silver Eagles?
I'd have to say this month, the Silver Eagles that we sold here at Discount Gold and Silver was probably the biggest month we've had in Silver Eagles for probably since day one. We've sold that many Silver Eagles.
So it's beginning
yes.
to get into the ordinary people.
Yes.
But who's been buying all the Silver Eagles for the first 5 months or first 4 months of the year?
And a lot of these orders are large orders, so mm-hmm. it's not a bunch of 300 Silver Eagles, although there's a lot of those, but many of them have been very large orders for Silver Eagles. So it is beginning to bleed down. We have actually, the number that we're at now, the 3.562, is basically at the same level for the amount that was sold in April. In April, it was 3.569.
You mean today's, as of the 20th day of May, we've sold as, or the government has sold as much, you sold as much, or the government sold as much as they did in the month of April?
The government has sold as much.
So that's, if the pace continues, we will sell, or the government will sell, 50% more Silver Eagles in the month of May than they did in the month of April.
Mm-hmm.
50%. It indicates somebody out there believes that silver is about as low as you're ever going to see it. That's point one. And point two, silver is going to go up significantly at some point in the near future. Now, it might be 6 months or who knows when it's going to be, but I don't think they're investing in silver in expectation that they're going to see a significant rise 3 years, 5 years from now. I think they're anticipating something significant in the very near future. And this goes in part to, they're closing down the London Silver Fix in August. That ends. And there will be, and that means the price of silver, as it stands right now, the price of silver will no longer be fixed in London, per se. It will actually be determined on the free market. That's the implication at the moment. There's nobody moving in to replace the London Silver Fix. And I don't think anyone will be because the liabilities are so great. Nobody wants the job. It's like being getaway driver for the Jesse James gang or something like that. You know, this is a good way to get yourself shot up. So I think everyone's going to stay away. They're going to turn it over to the free market. And that implies that the price of silver is going to become extremely volatile. We could see it rise to surprisingly high levels. All right, we might see silver. I'm not saying this. I'm not making a prediction, but I'm as an illustration. Sometime in August, we might see silver all of a sudden begin to skyrocket. And it might jump up to $70 an ounce. And after it stays there for a couple of days, it might fall back to 40 bucks an ounce. The price will go up, but there are likely to be some serious spikes, and it'll go way up, and then it'll fall back down. It'll end much higher than it is. It won't end at $19 an ounce. It'll end at $30, $40, $50 an ounce, but we could see some spectacular spikes in silver sometime after the, I think it's August 15th, when the London Fix closes down. Do you know if that's correct? Do you know if that date's correct?
It's close.
Yeah. Well, in any case, something's going on. People who should know, who might know what's going on, are buying silver. Somebody's buying the silver. And it's not just whimsical. There is a big move. Right or wrong, some people at least think they know something, and there's a good chance that they do. Those of you that, you know, you have an inclination, now is the time. Here we are in May, we've got June, July, August, 3 months until the Silver Fix terminates. And it's likely that during these 3 months, in anticipation of that termination, we can expect to see silver rise significantly, measurably. Maybe it gets up to 25. Maybe it even gets up to 30 before the Silver Fix ends in August. I'm not making a prediction, but I'm saying that's not impossible. It's not improbable. And that's assuming that part of the increased demand for silver is based on knowledge. People say, uh-oh, Silver Fix is going to end. That means the price is going to go up. So now's the time. And if you're inclined, if you're waiting to pull the trigger, you probably shouldn't wait much longer. Now's the time to buy. Got a couple articles here. We were talking earlier when we closed down the first segment of the program about the possibility that corporate greed may finally be reaching its limit. We've seen evidence of this for so many years that we've come to just We take it for granted. The people running major corporations, they are just entitled to enormous salaries, enormous incomes, $13 million a year, $20 million a year, all right, and maybe a lot more than that. And it's not as if we believe that they are entitled, but we do believe that they've got so much power that there's nothing we can do about it. Well, here's an article that says maybe that's not so. The New York Times. Headline is, Facing Shareholder Anger, Target Cuts Executives' Pay. Target's former chief executive received $13 million in compensation in his last year at the company's helm, down from $20 million the year before. Now, these are filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. They report a significant reduction in Greg Steinhoffel's pay package as a result of shareholder complaints that Steinhoffel made too much money relative to the company's performance. Last year, Target experienced considerable losses from its expansion into Canada and the hacking of customers' data. This is Target is the one that got stuck with, initially it was reported 60 million separate customer credit card and financial information for 60 million customers was lost. Later it went on to 80 million and might have gone up. I don't know how high it went altogether. But what happened? People running Target have had to take a cut in pay. I'm talking about the big boys. I'm not talking about the people working on the, you know, the average, the clerks and the rest of that sort of thing. But the big people who were essentially looting that corporation and just demanding excessive sums, they were shut down. Now, I'm not going to cry any tears for Mr. Steinhoffel. I know it's a strain for anyone to see your income fall by, what, 30% in 1 year. And his fell from $20 million to $13 million. Still, it didn't fall down to minimum wage. They're making $13 million a year. He'll get by. He resigned from his role as chief executive officer in May. Most visibly, he was forced out by the data breach that exposed the personal payment information of tens of millions of customers, leading to congressional hearings and spawning a flood of lawsuits. So my point is, looks like an era of unbridled corporate greed might be coming to an end. Maybe the public has finally had enough of this. Maybe even the government has finally found enough of this. And it may be that we've finally said, you people and corporations have gone too far. We are going to put you back under control. Now, I'm not going to bet that'll happen, but there's a chance it could happen. Maybe a 30% chance. All right. Who would have guessed there was a 30% chance a year ago? Today might be true. Here's another article from
the Daily. The problem with that is, I believe he also, what they don't tell you is, he probably gets a few million in stock options.
Oh, he gets.
I know that they don't include in the 13 million, so he probably walks away still with 20 million. But the only thing that is,
more in a year than I'll make in all of my life.
Well, it doesn't even matter. But the point is, you know, they'll skew the numbers and, you know, make it sound like, oh, something is really being done. The only thing that would show that anything is being done is when that 20 million would turn into, you know, maybe 500,000. Their jobs
should be based, and they go to jail.
And these people, these criminals, start going to jail and take away the wealth.
Well,
then maybe you'll start seeing some things change. But until then,
but
it's just another day. And then
here we go. Another article from the Daily Ticker. Uncle Sam, here's a headline. Uncle Sam may finally have found a reason to prosecute big bank. Tax evasion. The article says, guilty is a word that's seldom heard on Wall Street, but could be coming soon for a major bank. The Justice Department is close to getting a guilty plea from Credit Suisse Group for allegedly helping wealthy Americans avoid taxes. The news immediately follows U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder's comments on Monday that, quote, there is no such thing as too big to jail. An apparent reversal of
obviously
his
he is.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, it's comical. We can't jail him. We can't jail Obama. We can't even find out where Obama was born. Right? But nevertheless, the fact that they are saying this in public does indicate some sort of a shift. Last year, Holder told the Senate Judiciary Committee he was concerned that the size of some of these institutions becomes so large that it does become difficult for us to prosecute them. He meant it was virtually impossible. But he said difficult for us to prosecute them because it will have a negative impact on the national economy, perhaps even the world economy. And this goes to what my comment earlier when I was talking about corporations and how they relate and talked about the different system of values that you have if you're a nation or if you're an economy. Holder was concerned a year ago. He says it might have a negative impact on the national economy. Maybe even the world economy. This is all about money. The economy is all about money. Right? Bad for business to put these wealthy people in jail. But it's not bad for a nation. If you are living in the United States of America, it's a good thing to even put rich people in jail. Bad in economy, but good in a nation. Two different systems of values, and depends. And these values depend on where you choose to live, where we all do. Are you living in an economy? Are you living in a nation? If you're going to live in a nation, you have one system of values. If you live in an economy, you have a different one. The article continues and says, with approximately $1 trillion in assets, Credit Suisse was the world's 27th largest bank in 2013. The bank has operations over 50 countries, 45,000 employees. Counterparty risk would almost certainly make its way back into the lexicon if Credit Suisse were to suffer a materially adverse event. Does that sound like legalese to you folks? Well, it is. A materially adverse event could include criminal charges. Right? Well, the point to all of this, it's just two leaves blown in the breeze. But we haven't seen any leaves for a long time, and now we see these two. And it may be that Target, the shareholders have said, enough. You people in the positions that the president, CEO, and whatever, you're going to have to start getting reasonable pay, not just whatever you can get away with. The shareholders are standing up, and even the attorney general, at least in this one instance, is standing up. Now, what can you say? Am I optimistic? You know, that this is going to change things? Well, not exactly. I mean, I'm still, you know, it's the government we're talking about ultimately, and people with big money, and they do not inspire my confidence. Right? They do not inspire my trust. But on the other hand, they are talking about doing the right thing.
And it's so an election year too.
Yeah, that's true.
It's an election year.
You know, we should have elections every 90 days.
That people want to hear.
Yeah,
and really, they go after Credit Suisse that has a lousy $1 trillion in assets. The world's, they had to go down to 27, the 27th largest bank. They couldn't do the second largest bank, the third largest bank, the fourth. They had to go all the way down to the 27th largest bank. And certainly, they're probably a little ticked off because they did probably protect some people from, you know, to help some Americans avoid taxes. But let's see those names of the ones and how many and so forth.
Yeah,
but, you know, so that's what they're really after. This is actually what this is. This is putting banks, foreign banks, on notice because the law passes in July that they need to release the information of trades and accounts and so forth on American citizens around the world that have their money elsewhere and do trading elsewhere and so forth, because they want to track every U.S. citizen and where their dollars and their money go. So this is probably just a little bit of a warning to everyone to say, hey, I mean, we will make sure you release us those names or we will cause you grief. That's how I see it.
No, you may be right. I think that's an astute observation that this may have something to do with warning all of the banks.
Absolutely.
Here comes FATCA, and you boys better get in line or we'll be charging you. We will be indicting you criminally here in the United States.
Because
I'm Alfred Addis. We're going to take a break here for a moment, a couple of minutes. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. And you may recall in the first segment of the program, we're talking a little bit about China growing more aggressive, pointing out that Eric Holder is apparently charging five Chinese military officers with hacking into computers here in the United States. It's a little bit of it's evidence of a growing tension between the United States and China. But the United States isn't the only place where China's amping up the tension. Here's an article from China Daily Mail, publication from China, of course. And the headline is, large number of Chinese troops seen heading for China-Vietnam border. All right, a large number of People's Liberation Army troops have reportedly been spotted heading toward the China-Vietnam border as tensions between the two countries continue to escalate. This is according to Hong Kong Tsingtao Daily. Tsingtao Daily is generally considered to be aligned to Chinese state media, and the implication of that is that this is the official news. This isn't just some speculation. Somebody phoned in a report, says, "Boy, I saw a bunch of Chinese people, military," and somebody else reports it. This is what China, the government of China, wants reported. That's the implication. Thousands of Chinese nationals living or on business in Vietnam have already fled the country amid anti-China riots, which were sparked by a tense standoff between China and Vietnam naval ships near Chinese oil rig in disputed waters off the Paracel Islands in the South China Sea on May 4th. Chinese Foreign Ministry confirmed on Friday that at least two Chinese nationals have been killed and nearly 100 were injured during a violent protest last week. Saw dozens of Chinese, Taiwanese, and Hong Kong factories set on fire. These are set on fire in Vietnam. But the United Kingdom's Guardian, British publication, claims as many as 21 people have died. Now, this is interesting. We don't know what the true number is, but it's interesting that the Chinese government says only two people have died, and the Guardian says 21 people may have died. It's a little bit different in terms of the impact it may have on the Chinese people. China perhaps wants to motivate its people, but doesn't want to get them so fired up they get crazy. As yet another large-scale anti-China protest was scheduled for Sunday, Chinese netizens reported an endless stream of People's Liberation Army soldiers in full combat gear at Changzhou train station, apparently on their way to the China-Vietnam border. The soldiers were said to have been accompanied by tanks, armored vehicles, missile launchers, and other equipment. Pingyang, that's where they're headed, all right, along the border with between China and Vietnam, was where the Sino-Vietnamese War of 1979 began. And locals are reportedly preparing to evacuate the area out of fear of imminent military conflict. Now, point. Vietnam is an ancient enemy of China. They've had a war as recently as 1979. Most Americans don't know anything about that, but that's true. And they've had an antagonism that goes back for centuries. Huh? So here we have China again. We've seen where China is spying on the United States. That's not news exactly, but they're doing it. And China is sending troops and armored vehicles to the border with Vietnam. And we all know that here's from Russia today. They've got another report out. Japan to establish strategic military outposts near disputed islands. Tokyo has reportedly made plans to create new military outposts on remote islands close to disputed territories in an apparent move to bolster Japan's defense capabilities amid its ongoing territorial rows with China. Right? China is clearly becoming more aggressive. That aggression seems to be focused on those countries that are weaker than China and close to China. All right, primarily. They may do some hacking over here, but they're not planning to invade California. But that doesn't mean they're not thinking about some sort of shooting war with Vietnam. I don't see much point to invading Vietnam. I doubt that there's much there to be taken. But Japan, right? There's some wealth in that country. And I'm sure that wealth is tempting to China. The point in all of this is that China is becoming more aggressive. Now, this aggression might be a consequence of reported slowdowns in Chinese economic growth. In other words, if China's leaders can't control China's people with promises of increasing commercial wealth, then maybe they can maintain control with pleas to nationalism and patriotism based on military action against old enemies like Japan and Vietnam, which are already despised by the Chinese people. To some degree, China's growing aggression in Asia is also based on America's diminishing power on the international stage. If the United States can no longer restrain China, who will? Right? As we pull in our horns, China is stepping up. American weakness has created a power vacuum in Asia. China appears to be moving to fill that void. In any case, in addition to conflicts in Ukraine, we're also seeing evidence of possible military conflicts in Asia. And the implication in all of this is just a general, you know, it's not even a leaf in the breeze exactly. It's more like you can smell smoke. Can't see where the fire is. I don't know where the smell of smoke is exactly coming from, but we can pick up on that. And it's evidence that the world is growing increasingly unstable. That means that all of us need to buckle up, get prepared. We are in a time very much like the 1930s. And some people look around and they say, oh, look, we're going to have a problem with, you know, they thought we might have a problem with Germany, or we might have a problem here, there, or wherever. But no one really grasped how serious the problem could be. And not many people prepared adequately for that problem. We're in an era that is analogous to the 1930s. And it's before World War II broke out. And again, the economy, prior to World War II was certainly stagnant and arguably in a state of depression. We are in an economy that's arguably stagnant, certainly stagnant, and perhaps, you know, more than a few people think we're already in a depression. It remains to be seen, but I've said this a bunch of times, the Great Depression. We look back and we say it started in 1929 with the stock market crash. But in fact, there wasn't a general consensus that we were even in a depression until about 1933. Some people said, yeah, we're in a depression. Some said, no, we're not. We're in a recovery. We'll be coming back in no time at all. In retrospect, we were in a depression, but that's not instantly seen. Same thing can be true now. It could be argued that our economy is certainly in recession, certainly stagnant, probably in a recession, and maybe already in a depression. When the history books are written, they may go back and say the Greater Depression began in 2008. We didn't even figure it out until, who knows, 8 years later, maybe. 6, 7, 8 years later, where before we would all agree. The implication in all of this is that the world is becoming more unstable, and one of the things that happens whenever the world destabilizes is, Melody?
Gold and silver.
Yeah, they go up. Price goes up. They become the refuge that people run to in the event that there is significant, you know, national or economic instability. And we're seeing it on a global basis, and we see little instances like this pop up here, there, and wherever. And we see more threats. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but the potential is there, and it will certainly exert an upward force on the price of gold and silver. Another reason why we talked earlier about, you know, something is moving people. Something's getting them to buy silver right now. And lots of it. Record amounts. It's not just, we're selling a lot of silver. No, we're selling more silver than we ever sold before. Not just discount gold and silver. I'm talking about the United States Mint. Someone is buying all of that silver. And they have to be doing it, and whoever's doing it, it's how many dollars are we talking about in silver, Melody? Did you say we had something like 3.5 million ounces of silver sold last week?
For the month. Up to the
month.
For
the month.
For the month.
3.5.
3.5.
Okay, so far this month it sold 3.5 million. Well, you know, they're probably getting $25 a piece. What's the mint charge per coin?
Well, I mean, there's multiple wholesales and so forth, but if you just based it on $20,
all right,
$20. Make it easy.
All right, we're talking, what, $70 million per month? Per month? In terms of the silver market, that's a considerable amount of money. Somebody's jumping in, and they're jumping in with both feet.
$350 million? Yeah.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Regardless, point is someone, and the implication is, if they've got $350 million to invest, odds are they didn't win it in the lottery. These are probably fairly intelligent, knowledgeable people, and they're saying, this is a good deal. You would do well to consider their example. You know, you don't necessarily have to follow and do what other people do. I mean, you've got to do your own thinking and make up your own mind on whether you're going to buy, sell, or stand pat.
It's 700. We're doing good. Anyway, it is. It's a good time to be buying the silver. But there was one thing I wanted to bring up, Al. There's a report about, you know, we're all aware of executive orders and so forth. And what's Obama's expected to take at least two major actions on the environment. He's also going to be focusing on the economy by issuing all sorts of executive actions. And a lot of these executive actions, these that he's going to be doing, he's going to be picking up the pace, is really just to offset the information and the investigation on Benghazi and anything else that they plan to investigate. You know, while the Republicans are focusing, this is an election year, while the Republicans are focusing on Benghazi, you have the Democrats and maybe even Obamacare. Mm-hmm. You have the Democrats and Obama issuing all sorts of executive orders in order to get reelected. Yeah. You know, the Democrats are focused on the election. The Republicans focusing on Benghazi and Obamacare, they should have focused on that how many years? I mean,
they intentionally, they know from the beginning this is going to be a good one. We'll save it for the next election.
But
I mean, this is what
and it's not going to get them elected.
Yeah, it might get some of them elected.
No, it won't. And, of course, there were some elections held today, so I hope everybody did have an opportunity to get out and vote. Anyway.
I voted for Sunlight. I don't know that there are any elections here on Texas that I needed to pay close attention to. But I voted for Sunlight, got out there and got a little sun today, which is good for me. Yay!
Yeah. And I just want to remind the listeners that we'll be doing another interview tomorrow evening with
James Corbett.
We also have Wendy Wilson joining us. Since we're rescheduling her, she'll be doing the first segment of tomorrow's program, the 20 minutes, starting on Wednesdays. We'll see how that goes. It'll either be Wednesday or Friday, but we're going to start it on Wednesday. A little bit of a changing in the program, a good change. And James Corbett, I guess, will be here with us weekly as long as his schedule allows him to be. So.
Good. James Corbett, he publishes newsletter called The Corbett Report, and he edits the International Forecaster. He's taken over Bob Chapman's place on the International Forecaster. And a very knowledgeable man. You're going to have a hard time finding someone who has a greater breadth of knowledge. Very articulate, intelligent, knowledgeable, and he lives in Japan. So he has a different perspective. He sees things from a little different perspective than we do, and it's always interesting to see him on the program. You want to learn more, take a look at the Corbett Report, C-O-R-B-E-T-T, Corbett Report. You can find it on the Internet. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom, and I hope you tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.